Let us begin now. We are in the middle. Let's make a bracha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvarayim. Okay, let's continue where we left off. We're in the middle of discussing the source, the makar for Vuhu Achod. Yes, I'm going to refer to three reasons presented in these two pages. The sources, from Kolboy and from a different sefer. Yesterday we went to the first. So we reviewed, just to review outside what we did yesterday. There was a story that dates back to approximately 1,948 years ago, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. It's 1948. It's now 1948. It's 1,948 years since the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. The Churban Bayis Sheni took place in the year 70, according to, not really clear, some say it was really 69, 70, and then there are missing years.
If you count the year 0 or 1.
There are many factors. There are many different factors, but let's assume for argument's sake that it took place in the year 70. That's what most of the art school books and their ilk tell you. It's not necessarily accurate, but it says the year 70. Therefore, it's 19, close enough. Now it's.
No, but they say it's based on the fact: was there a year zero, or the first year start counting year what?
Fine. Yeah. But then there are missing years. In history, there's a whole story, but there's 16...
Was 586 years in terms of English history.
There's a lot of mysteries. There are a lot of histories. There are missing years. One day we have to do this. One day we have to spend some time on this. We have to give a couple of shiur on this.
In the 420 years of Bayis Sheni, it was more like 580 years, perhaps.
Maybe one day we're going to do this. There's a new sefer, a very good sefer that goes through the whole topic. And Rav Shimon Schwab, he wrote an article, a very controversial article in the Jewish Observer in its heyday, when it used to be the good old days when there was no such thing as the Ated, the Hamodia, Mishpacha, Ami, Bina didn't exist. The only game in town outside the Jewish press, Apple, that for sure didn't exist. But the only game in town was the Jewish press. That was the Jewish press and the Jewish Observer,
the paper,
magazine.
The paper.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about for English speaking, for the English speaking audience. Yeah, it was a magazine. It was a magazine. It was used. It was a very powerful tool for the Gedolei Yisrael of the time to be able to voice their opinions on many topics, many issues of the day. And they usually themselves did not write it. They had their people, because they didn't speak English. They didn't write English and speak English. And people who represented them would, very eloquently sometimes put in words what they called in the good old day called Das Torah. Okay, that term is an abused term. It fell out of use today. Today, not going to say that anymore. Back in the day, that was, I think, probably the good part of my early years in this world. That was the only two English publications that were common. Am I making a mistake?
No.
Jewish press. Who didn't have the Jewish press in their home?
Yeah.
Who didn't have Jewish press? And then it was a novelty. There was this thing, magazine called the Jewish Observer. Today, a Jewish press in print, I don't see it anywhere where I hang out. I don't think I'm living under a rock. I want to tell you one thing though. I on my phone, my smartphone, I have an app where I have like a likut, a malak, it's an aggregate news. I've over the last year have collected every website, news media they have like a feed of all of their articles. So I have everything you can imagine. And I got to tell you something. The best articles are from the Jewish press, by far. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Go online. No. Go online to thejewishpress.com. Their articles. The articles are not just copy-paste from the AP. They have real reporters. They have really good stuff. I'm not joking. What? Not on the web. Not on the web. They don't have pictures of women on the web. And it's different Mac, but anyway. Yeah, you get it printed.
I get printed.
Okay, you get it printed also? Jewish press?
Yeah.
Wow, pretty good. Okay, pretty good.
Yeah.
But why? You don't see anymore. What has replaced them? Yated, Hamodia, the magazines, Mishpachas, very popular, Ami, women like Bina. And Jewish Observer no longer exists. They went out of business. No. They shut down. They shut down. No more. Okay, Jewish Action. That's true. They come out. They only come out four times a year at most.
Yeah, Jewish Observer didn't came out every 3-4 months.
No, I think it came out. It came out every month.
It was monthly.
Every month was printed.
Jewish Action. I think got a lot better. Jewish Action wasn't so. I think Jewish Action now is very good. Now it became very high. Shrek. He used to daven in the shul. He's in charge. Jerry Shrek is in charge of the Jewish Action. Jewish Action is very decent. It's a very, very different type of publication. It's not. There's a lot of inconsistencies in the articles. It's a different type. It is good. It's different. It's a different type of publication. But even the olden days, you didn't see the Jewish Action in the olden days.
No.
I think it became a lot better in more recent times. They improved. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But in any event, there was a very famous article back in the day in the Jewish Observer by Rav Shimon Schwab, to explain this thing, what he called the missing years. In Jewish history, there's a very big problem. The numbers do not add up. And his chidushim created quite a controversy. Okay, among the Orthodox community, there was a very big, very, very big response to his ideas. And the end was, he had charata. He says, I'm chozer. I retract what I said, because it may indeed not be correct. And that was the end. And I think when they published, subsequently after he was nifter, and they published all of his articles, all his letter, the whole collection. I don't think it was included. So you have to really get a hold of it. To get a hold of his chidushim, it's very, very interesting. And very about a year ago, someone put out a very, very nice sefer in English on this whole topic, discussing all the different angles of the missing years. And believe Ned, that maybe at some point in time we'll spend time going through. It's very, very fascinating. But in the meantime,
is he one of his? He printed selected writings.
Right. So I don't think it's there. Check it out if it's there.
So
I don't think it's there. I looked for it there and it wasn't there.
Why?
So I think that since he had charata, they didn't publish it anymore.
Mm.
You have to get it online. I'm sure online it's available somewhere, or you can get it somewhere. Once it's in print, you know, it's not going to disappear. It's available somewhere.
How many years are you talking about?
At least 30 years. Oh, no, I mean the missing years? I think it's 16. I think if I'm not mistaken, it's 16 missing years. Is that what it is? I don't know. Believe that one day we'll come to it. Right now, how do we get into this topic? How do we come into this topic? How do I get off of this tangent? I have no idea. Let's go. Let's review. What did we review? What did we learn yesterday? Let's try not to get me distracted. I get very distracted, as you see. Try not to get me distracted. What did we learn yesterday?
Gets off on a tangent, he says,
okay, let's go, Rabbi Stein, review what we learned yesterday. Yesterday we discussed the origins of the prayer of Uhurachim we recite on Monday and Thursday. The story was, that was how we got to it. The year 1948. It's been 1,948 years since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. At the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, what happened? There was a group of people that I assume the Romans did not know what to do with. They did not want to kill them on the spot. They did not want to take them to Rome. I don't know why. Instead, they put them on a ship, on a boat, and they just pushed the boat out into the sea, into the Mediterranean. And they said, let the boat go wherever it goes. And they assumed the boat would capsize. The people would starve. And that's the end of these people. But that's not what Hashem had in store for these people. Hashem had in store the boat, and in fact, miraculously made its way to dry land. It landed on an island or in a country somewhere, and they were captured by the people of this island. They were brought to the Hegemon, the governor. They were the person in charge. He asked them, who are you? How did you get here? Shalom Aleichem, welcome. How did you get here? And they said to him, how we got here? We got here. We're Jews. and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Hegemon said, you're Jews? I know about the Jews. Hananiah, I heard, we read about Hananiah Mishova Azariah. He did a book report when I was in kindergarten about Hananiah Mishova Azariah. And in my book report, I remember writing that they were thrown into a Kivshon Shel Esh in honor of Hashem. And they survived, miraculously survived. So you're that from those people that I know about from my childhood, we read about, from the people who worship Hashem and Hashem is their God and Hashem saves them. Let's do this all over again. Let me put you in the fire and see, and let's try this again. We'll bring the whole city together, the whole community together, and watch this spectacle all over again. So what did they do? They said to the Hegemon, okay, we have no choice, but at least give us 30 days to prepare. They prepared 30 days. How? By fasting and doing teshuvah, and they had dreams every night. And one of the Zekadim had a dream, and in the dream, it was read to him a pasuk, it was said to him in the pasuk, in which the word lo appears twice, and the word ki appears three times. That pasuk will tell you your fate. And the Zekadim did not know what the pasuk was. They did not know, and there was another, so there was a person there in the group who knew the pasuk. He knew Tanakh inside out. He figured out the pasuk, which had the word ki three times and the word lo two times. And in that pasuk, it says that although you have gone through the waters, do not worry, you will not drown in the waters. And if you'll be put into the fire, you will not be burnt. So this served as a great source of inspiration for these people that nothing will happen to them when they will be put into the fire. And indeed, on day 30, the Hegemon took this person, the leader, he put him into the fire and nothing happened. And instead, the fire split into three parts. That's what it says in the story. I don't know what this means. It split into three different sections. And three other Zekanim entered into the fire on the path that was created by the splitting of the fire to retrieve and to greet and to take this person out of the fire. After they took him out of the fire and they witnessed, they experienced this amazing miracle, they composed a prayer in honor of what happened. And the prayer is what we know today as Vilchu Rachum. The prayer of Vuhurachim is there are three parts to Vuhurachim. The first part is the first three paragraphs. Vuhurachim, paragraph one. The second paragraph is Hatei, Elokai, Oznicha. And the third paragraph is Habetno, Rachemno, Al Amcha, Mehero, Leman Shemecha. And the end of the third paragraph ends with the words Kikel Melechanun, Verachum, Otto. So it begins with Vuhu Rachum, and it ends at the end of the third paragraph with the words Kikel Melechanun Verachumata. The next two paragraphs were composed by the second Zokain. There were three Zokainim who miraculously retrieved the fourth Zokain. And that paragraph, that was the next two paragraphs, which begins with Habetna Rachem. Also begins with, I'm sorry, it begins with Ona Melechanun Virachum. Also begins with the theme of Rachamum. That paragraph and the next paragraph, Kel Rachum Vichanun, and ends with the words, Ki Kel Melechanun Virachumata. It begins with Rachamim, ends with Rachamim. The third paragraph, the next two paragraphs of Ein Kamocha Chanun Verachum and Aposech Yod B'Shuv L'Kabel Poshim was composed by the third individual, and also it begins with the theme of Rachamun Chanun Verachum, and it ends. Now, where does it end? So we think it ends when it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's not where it ends. It ends with what we say every single day with Tachanun. Every single day, Tachlon, after you say Vayomer David, if you say Vayomer David, what do you say? You say, Rachum v'chanun chotosi lefonecho Hashem mole rachamim. Rachem olai v'kabel tachanun. No, that's really the last expression, the last sentence of the third section of the Vihu Rachum. And we pluck out that last expression. It's not a pasuk. That's a nusach. It's 1,948 years old, that Nusach. we plug it out of the Vehu Rachum and we append it. We use it as the opening to recite Tachanun. The Ikra Tachanun, you say Mizmor of Tehillim. So we say Mizmor Yud, Mizmor Vav. But before we say Mizmor Vav, we say two psukim. We say either that we say the pasuk Vayomer David, then we say this is not a pasuk; it's a nusach. And that nusach really comes from the third part of the composition of the third person. So therefore, this is the makar for Vehu Rachum. There are three parts to Vehu Rachum. Three different, so that was the story. Now, by the way, before we go further, one point out is that in each one of these three parts, Hashem's name appears 18 times. Okay, 18. Why does Hashem's name appear 18 times in each part, in each of the three sections? Because it corresponds to the 18 brachos of the original Shemoneh Esrei. You have to remember, Shemoneh Esrei, this was the one, the Churban Ham, there was no V'lam Al-Shinim yet. V'lam Al-Shin was not yet composed. That was composed later. So at this point in time, there were only 18 blessings in the Shemoneh Esrei. Like we said, Shemoneh Esrei, right? I always say there's no such thing as Shemoneh Esrei. It's either 19, 7, or 9. Never ever daven in Shemoneh, 18 blessings. Isn't it amazing? We call it the Shemoneh Esrei. The 18. What 18? It's either 19, or it's 7, or it's 9. Never ever do you recite in Shemoneh Esrei, or it's 7. And Musaf is only 7. So it's 7, not, 7, or 7, what did I say?
19,
7, or 9. 7, all right. 7, 9 on Rosh Hashanah, it's 9. Rosh Hashanah, we have two more blessings, it's 9. Or it's 19. It's never 18. But originally, it was 18. So when they composed these prayers, it was 18 at that point in time. It was still 18. It was before the Gemara was written. Right. It was still 18. And that's why in each of these sections, if you count very carefully, you'll notice there are 18 times as Hashem's name appear. And why? To relate it to the Shemoneh Esrei. And for that reason, there is a minhag, which almost no one does, is you're supposed to stand with your feet together. Firstly, you're supposed to stand, because it's like the Shemoneh Esrei. And when you dive in Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to stand. Not only should you stand, you should stand with your feet together as if you are davening the Shemoneh Esrei. Do you know anyone who does that? I don't know anyone who does that. I don't really look around that much, but I don't think people do that today. That's not very common.
Most people stand, but a lot of people...
Right, you stand. There's a very big hakpad. In fact, it says over here in the article, it's quoted from Shulchan Aruch, it says, Yesh, I'm reading what it says over in the article, okay? This is like really run-of-the-mill. Every shul has one of these. Where you find me, a shul doesn't have one of these. And it says here in the instructions, Yesh la'amoyd ba'miras v'rachum, you should stand when you recite v'rachum. The yesh, some say she'im lo yamad, if you don't stand, nikro, you are called a poiret skeder, a person who makes a breach in the fence. Ayin arachayim, simen kufla medalit of Mishneh Berurah Sham. They don't write this in the instructions before the Shemoneh Esrei in the art school. You're also supposed to stand when you say Shemoneh Esrei.
Everybody knows.
That's why some people sit down and you say,
"No, that's Tachanon. That's not Vehu Rachum." I told you, Vehu Rachum is in a class by itself.
So that started in the year right there. Since they skipped it, we don't know.
I mean, they composed it shortly after the Churban. When was it accepted in the whole Klal Yisrael? I don't know. I don't know exactly.
Yeah,
it doesn't say. It doesn't say. Things traveled. Things happened very slowly in those days. So I don't know when it was accepted. But it's an amazing thing how far back it goes. And the history, the origin, where it comes from. And the three different parts. It begins with Rachum, ends with Rachum. Three different sections. 3, 2, 2. The last line is part of the Nusach, what we say every day when we say Tachlan itself. In each one, there are 18 Shemos of Hashem corresponding to the 18 blessings of the Shemoneh Esrei. And that's how we say it after the Shemoneh Esrei. And Maker Hadin, yeah, that's why we're very makbid to say it's standing. And there, it does appear, it's brought down all the books that I'm reading about Vurachim, is that you should even say it with your feet together. But that's not the minhag. No one does that. It's not the minhag. Now, just going off on a tangent, what are the things that you're supposed to say with your feet together? It's very important you should know. What are the things? You're supposed to say the Shemoneh Esrei with your feet together. Kiddushah with your feet together. Kaddish with your feet together. V'hu rachom with you together. And what else? Aleinu, no. I never saw that. Aleinu with your feet together. I never heard that. Kiddush Levana. People don't know that. It's Beferish and Shulchan Aruch. Kiddush Levana is supposed to be said with your feet together. It's Kabbalas Penei HaShechina. We learned it. We learned it together. It's
your outdoors usually.
Doesn't matter. You're supposed to find for yourself space. You are the bracha. When you say the bracha, all the psukim, you don't have to stay with your feet together. But when you say the bracha, that first bracha, you're supposed to put your feet together when you say the bracha for Kiddush Levana, because it's Kabbalas Penei HaShechina. Just like when you daven the Shemoneh Esrei, you're Oymed Lefnei HaMelech, so too when you say Kiddush Levana, you're Oymed Lefnei HaMelech. It's Kabbalas Penei HaShechina. The proper thing to do is to put your feet together. So now you know the secrets. All the things that you put your feet together. So, some people don't even know this. They don't even know that when you say Kedusha, very surprised. Some people do not know that when you say Kaddish, also Kaddish, another than Kaddish.
Yes,
when you recite Kaddish, you're supposed
correct.
To put your feet together. You have a chazan,
yes.
A boy, bar mitzvah, who davens for the Amud. They have to be taught. They daven for the Amud. They're never taught that when you say Kaddish, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, you are supposed to put your feet together. When you recite Kedusha, you put your feet together.
Also Baruch.
Baruch. Do you put your feet together for Baruch Hu? Do you put your feet together for Baruch Hu? I don't even know what I do. Do you put your feet together? Probably do, right? What do you do for Baruch Hu? Do you put your feet together? Do you put your feet together for Baruch Hu? When you're responding to Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMavarach, do you put your feet together for Baruch Hu? I don't even know what I do. What do you do? You gotta go look it up. But Kiddush Levana is something very common people do not know. And it's interesting, you know, once in 28 years, we do. So it's brought down in all the books, is that when you don't do very much. All you say is the bracha of Oysa Maise. The whole thing is one bracha. Oysa Maise Bereish. There's no special nusach. But there are people who hold that everything about Birchas Hachama parallels Kiddush Levana. Is a direct correlation between Kiddush Levana and Birchas Hachama. So you should put your feet together when you say the bracha, Oisei Maisei Bereishis. When you make that bracha, your feet should be together as well. Whatever, take it for what it's worth. It's not Kabbalas Penei HaShechina, but being that when it comes to Kiddush Levana, you put your feet together, so for Oisei Maisei Bereishis, once in 28 years, and you say Kiddush Birchas Hachama, you put your feet together as well. Okay, so at least we learned this. 18 to 8, Hashem's name is Mikount. Next time you say Virach, Mikount, what to do now? Count the 18 times it says in each. I didn't count it, sorry. I'll tell you what it's. I didn't get a chance to count it. But 18 times in each one of the three sections, and that's why you put your feet together. Now, with that said, this concludes version number 1. Okay, let's now go a few minutes and look at version number 2 in the footnote. Okay, on page 239, on the footnote, but we learned everything that we learned until now comes from the Kolboy. The Kolboy was a Rishain, and he in Simon Yudches, and he wrote, and he says this, and also the Manhig Sham. That's the name of also I think the name of a Rishain, the Avudraham, also an early Rishain. Okay, they all say the same thing. This is the source of the Hurach. Now, Uvisidur Harosh. Migar Miza. I don't know who the Rush is, but Migar Miza from Mainz, Germany, is a sitter. He Hevi Maisa Zeb Oifen Acher. They have a different. I'm the footnote on page 239. I'm on the second line, the first line of the footnotes. Okay, everything we learned until now comes from the Kolba Yisrael Yinches and the Manhig Sham and in the Avudraham. These are Rishonim. Now we have another version of the story. And this version comes to us as a legend. And it's recorded in a Siddur that was published in Migar Miza. Migar Miza is the Hebrew way they refer to the city in Germany called Mainz. One of the three cities, the Kila is Shum. Shum means garlic. Three letters are Shin, Vav, Mem. Shin is Shapira, Vav is Varmiza, and Mem is Mainz. There were three kihilois, three major kihilois in the Rhineland, called Kihilois Shum, the Kihilois of garlic, with these Rosh Tevois, and they were part of a union. They got together, all of the Rabbanim together. There was like a, what do you call it? You call it the National Council, right? Nationally, all the Rabbanim of these 3 kilos, they got like the 5 towns, right? All the Rabbanim, the Vad of the 5 towns, the Vad of Flappish, the Vad of Borough Park. They came together in what was called the Kehilah Shum. So one of the 3 towns was Mem, Mainz. Mainz is Mainz. Garmiza is the same thing as, or Shum. The Mem is Margiza. That's what it is. Here it's different. The way they spell it is a little bit different. Okay, whatever it is. So there is a siddur that was published in Mainz. Hevi Maise Zeb Oifen Acher. They bring down the story with a different version. Ktsas. Kishehichiv Titois Es Habayis. So we're going to the same time. We're going back to the Churban Bayis Sheni. When Titois HaRosh destroyed the base of this 1,948 years ago. Milei Sholosh Sfidus. So here's the first difference. It wasn't one boat. How many boats? Three boats. Mile shalosh sefinos anoshim, v'noshim, men and women. V'nostam b'loy rav ha'chovel, he put them in the sea without a captain. V'sholach kadosh baruch hu ruach s'ara v'shlicham liyabosha b'sholosh malchiyos. Hashem sent each ship to a different location. Titus assumed that the ships would capsize and the people would die. It's not what happened. Hashem b'hashkoch ha'pratis sent these 3 boats to 3 different civilizations. Why did he kill them? Good question. I don't know the answer. You're right. I don't know the answer. I don't know why. Why did he spare these people, put these people on a boat and send them out? What was Kavana? I really don't know. A lot of mysteries.
But he thought they would suffer more.
A lot of mysteries. So what happened? He sent them out. The boat went. And the boats landed on 3 different civilizations. And from there sprouted Yiddishkeit and Golis that we have today. Arayam Azeh. Where do the first Jews come from? Now these cities, if anyone can know where they are, good for you, because I have no clue who they are. Sina achas ba'bosa bi'eretz shenuya. Shinvaya. You know where that is? Shinvaya? Where is Shinvaya? One boat landed in the land of Shinvaya. Does anyone have any clue? Or Michal, he told me, he looked this up, and he has no clue where this place is. V'yashniya b'eretz Antzalia. What's that? Mystery. V'yashlish is the 3rd boat landed in the Eretz Africa. Okay, Africa we know. We're in Africa, though. Africa's a big place. It's a big jungle down there. Where in Africa did it land? No one knows. V'hoy b'neyem shloisha chachamim v'tzadikim u'zakeidim, and amongst them were 3 chachamim. And many tzaddikim and zekeinim ve'olu hashloshta miyarches se'sefino l'cholas l'chalois hamelech Africa. So it seems over here the 2 ships. If I'm not reading correctly, we're finished. We don't know what happened to the 2. The 2 landed where they landed, the Zehu.
Talking about the 3 continents, was in that area where they would have sent them the trip from, or the confluence of 3 very short distances, all 3 continents.
Now the first two we don't know, we're not even going to discuss. We only discuss the 3rd ship. The 3rd ship landed in Africa. And Africa, on this ship, there were 3 chachamim, zekeinim, tzadikim, and a lot of people. And they went, doesn't say here they were captured. It says here they went. They went and they approached the king. They themselves on their own. They went lechalois to beseech Hamelech Africa, shidin lochem rishus l'sheves bi'artzo, to give permission to settle in the land. The Amal Hamamelech me'ainatem and me'ezah umatem. So over here, notice the big difference. No one went and captured them and tortured them. They on their own. They landed. No one could care less. They landed. They were immigrants. They went. They wanted permission to get a license to go to go buy property. You need to be a citizen. And they went to the king. They, could we please live in this land and live over here? Our base, our homeland has been destroyed. So where are you from? Amalo Yehud manachnu umizaro ishel Avram Avinu. Omar Lohem, if you really from the Zar Shalom Avinu, my Mizar Shalom Atem, Yivchan Devrechem. Oh, so now is when they got into trouble. If they would not have told them that they're from Avram Avinu, Nothing would have happened. Now we're Avraham Avinu, so this, we all want to test you. I'm going to throw you into a kivshan eish, just like I threw Terach and Nimrod through Avraham Avinu into a kivshan shalish. Okay? Im yivchan devrechem, im teitzu li notzel, if you will teitzu li notzel min ha'ur, k'moshe nutzel Avraham me'ur kastim, then I'll let you be citizens. Kichu echon mikem, v'yivchon bar, select from your group one person who will be the korban, who's going to be thrown into the fire. Im yinotzel, if he is spared, amale kol mishalosechem, I will grant you every request. V'atenu, teishu, you will live in the land, v'aris tischaru, and you'll live and you'll be prosperous in the land. V'kevan sheshama kein, over here, not 30 days, over here, when they heard this, they became white. Okay, they became white, they were very disturbed. They were very disturbed in what they heard, and they asked for 3 days. 3 days to prepare. Zman, it's not working.
Suppose you just move it around here.
Put it down? Okay, go. We got to figure out a new technique for this. Okay. So he asked him for 3 days. Zman, shloisha yom, nosalachem zman, vitzivala, la'osram, bebeis, hamishwa, they put him in jail. Amdu betfilo, v'tachaninim, v'yosad, echad, mehem, hurachim. So here, look at this story. This story over here is mamish pilm fakert. The story was that they composed this nusach in advance. You see the difference? In this story, this was not composed as a way of appreciation, shavach, for being spared. It was composed in advance. They should not die in this event. Amdu b'tfilo v'tachnu v'noyos lechem hem hurachum ad on a melech uv'yoyim hasheni Yosana, it was who was all together. It wasn't one person who composed one part, another person, third part. All of them together composed all three sections on three different days. The king gave them 3 days to prepare for this event. So on day one, they together composed number one. On day two, they composed the second section. On day three, they composed the third section. So the first day, they composed Yom HaSheni Yosad. Hashem, maybe remember the door. It does say Hashem. It means the second person. The second person, Me'ono, that's starting with the fourth paragraph, like before. Ad Ein Kamocha, one, two, until like two paragraphs. V'yom Hashlishi, Yosan Hashlishi, Be'ein Kamocha, Ad Soifai. The Kevin Shigi, Yom Hashlishi, Ho Yushalim Zel Loze, Ma Chemlas, Ma Chalamta. What did you dream? During these 3 nights, Beilu Gimel Leilos on Echa Mehem, V'yam Bechol Oysen Gimel Halelos Halalu Hayisi Kari Bechalomi Ki Telech V'mayesh Lois Sichve. The pasuk we mentioned before that has 3 times the word Ki and 2 times the word Loi. Kevon Shoshama Kach Samchu Simchu Gedolu V'yam Uzelaze Aton Ti Notzel Minoesh. You will be spared. Uvisoro Hi Locha. It is Hashem is revealing to you Shloit Yiga Bechol Ha'ol Hazikha. He was speared. The king gave them the best of Africa. So when you go on a tour of Africa, they take you to the safari. You should know a Jew already was here, and it was here where they composed the nusach of Hurachum. The Metav Arzo, the Yirbuba Ma'oid Ma'od. They were prosperous in this land. Beautiful story, very, very different events. Let me just illustrate and point out the major differences. This version has nothing to do with Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. Zero. It has to do with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was also thrown to the Kivshan Ha'esh by who? By Nimrod. Now that begs the question, this is very interesting, what then is the difference between the Nisoyon of Avraham Avinu and Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah?
Everything.
Oh, so why are they very different? Well, one of the differences.
One put himself in that cat, and one put himself, as the Gemara said, why doesn't the Chumash tell the story? Because
he did it to himself. Okay, so that's okay. This is maybe not a topic for now, but something to take note of. We have two very different stories in Tanakh, in Chazal, of people being thrown into the fire, from which we draw inspiration. Avram Avinu and Hananiah and Mishael Bezer. Why do you have to have both? Why do you have to have two stories? Obviously, there's a very big difference between the two events. A lot of differences and a lot to learn from each one. They're mutually exclusive of the Nesiyonos that each one experienced. If you're now saying a tefillah that was composed as an outgrowth of Avram Avinu versus looking at the tefillah as an outgrowth of Hananiah, Mishael v'Azariah, the tefillah takes on a whole new meaning. Okay, so we have to discuss, not now, another time, of the differences between the differences, the lessons of between the two. And whatever the lessons are, when you're saying v'rachum, you are relating, you're connecting to a very different set of circumstances, a very different approach to what it means, Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Okay, there's something called Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and there are different types of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. There's a Kiddush Shem Shemayim of Hananiah, Mishael v'Azariah, and there's a Kiddush Shem Shemayim of Avram Avinu. And then there's another form of Doniel. Daniel was thrown into the Goy of Harayos, into a lion's den. That's another type of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Each one has its own lessons to learn from. Another very big difference between the two versions is, when did they compose the tefillah? Did they compose the tefillah in their minds? It was curtains. It was all over. Like the second version, that they said this tefillah as a tefillah we should not die. Or was the tefillah composed more as a shira after the fact? They survived, and now out of Hakaras HaToyv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they composed this nusach tefillah. Was it said in hindsight, or was it said in advance? It's another very fundamental difference. Those really, I think, are the two real main differences. Okay, now let's go to one more version. Okay, very quickly. Maybe not, because I'm really, really low on time. So maybe we should save this for tomorrow. Okay, I want to spend some time on mikvah. We're not going to have time. So let's stop over here. And tomorrow we'll go weiter. It's kedai to dwell upon this, because people, you know, you dive in this every single day. People have no clue. What are they saying? Where does it come from? Twice a week, like, what are you saying? Your whole life, you go by, have some appreciation of what life is all about.
I think it's so much more, you know, sometimes with this here. That's my opinion.